Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy New Year. Today is January 1st, 2015. I'm Michelle Pache, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. Now, let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and experiencing Aramaic forgiveness.
Well, thank you, young lady. I appreciate you being here and the fact that you've got the space to do the switchboard for us while we are driving down the road. We just left Apalachicola about an hour ago on the panhandle of Florida, and we're on our way to Tampa. We'll actually be staying in Treasure Island for the next couple of weeks. And Sunday, if you happen to be in the Bradenton area, we'll be doing a Sunday service at 10 o'clock in the morning, another one at 11:30, and then a potluck lunch. And at 1 o'clock, or 1:30, I guess it is, we're going to do Why Is This Happening to Me Again, a free open workshop at Unity in the Woods in Bradenton, Florida. You can go to our website, www.whyagain.org. To get a flyer and directions on how to get to Unity in the Woods, we'd be delighted if you come and join us. We'll then have a few days off, and then we'll be starting a full week of workshops at Unity North in Tampa, and then Unity of St. Petersburg. So we'll have a couple of weeks of workshops there. And so if you're in the Tampa, St. Pete, Bradenton area, lots of opportunities to come join us, and we'd be delighted if you chose to do that. In the meantime, Happy New Year. I hope that this becomes the absolute best new year yet of your eternal life. And here's what I know. If you engage in the tools we're going to offer to you, the tools that come from the first century Aramaic language, it will be the best year yet of your eternal life. And that's a guarantee if you actually apply the tools. I remember a couple of years ago we had a woman who came to an intensive at Heartland, and she just had all kinds of things in her face. She was just angry and afraid and had this going on and that going on. And she came and did I don't remember exactly what time period it was, but a 9-day or a 16-day intensive. And just basically cleaned up everything in her life. You know, it's like everything's cool, everything's good. And when she called me a couple of months later, she's like, well, I'm ready for my next intensive. I just, you know, I've got so much up in my face today, and everything that was disturbing to me before I got to Heartland is gone. It's a joke when I look at it now, and I'm ready for this next layer to become a joke to me, to move through what I need to move through in my life. And so we're here to support you moving through anything in your life that is less than love. And what the first century Aramaic process of forgiveness is about is getting free of those experiences that are less than love in your life and being restored to the truth of who you are. And what's the truth of who you are? Well, if we go back into the first century Aramaic language, the word forgive has nothing to do with me letting you off the hook for what's going on inside of me. The word forgive is the tool with which I remove anything in me that doesn't belong so that I can be restored to my human life. And, of course, our definition of a human life is very simple. Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human being is. It is this awesome active presence of love, which we are designed to function out of and to function as, because it's the truth of who we are. And the tool of forgiveness is how to address and remove the things in us that are less than love, that never belonged in us, that we weren't designed to experience. Believe it or not, humans are not designed for the experience of rage, of guilt, of fear, of hatred, of vengeance. We've been fooled. We've been tricked by the world. And to engage in and experience those things is an anomaly for a true human being. And so the restoration to the truth of who you are is what this work is about. If you're not familiar with that forgiveness process, we invite you to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And in the center of the page, you'll see a bullseye. And if you click that bullseye, it'll take you into a whole series of links, which will show you exactly how to go inside yourself and remove everything unlike your human life so that you can be restored to the truth of who you are, this awesome active presence of love. So we're glad to be here to have the opportunity to share that technology with you, and we're delighted that you choose to participate. And Michelle, do we have Dr. Tim with us today?
He is here. Happy New Year, Dr. Tim.
Happy New Year.
Well, hi there, good sir. How do you be?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. I had a lovely evening surrounded by musicians playing folk music up in Woodstock, Illinois, and got another chance to play drums with one of my favorite musicians up there and welcome in the new year. And
nice.
And I was just musing this morning about how the use of these tools has dramatically improved the quality of my life, my day-to-day functioning in life. And I just want to make that statement again. It's the use of these tools that has improved the quality of my life day-to-day. It isn't the fact that I read them once or that I keep a stack of blank worksheets on my desk. It's that I actually engage in the forgiveness process. I actually have some level of success at catching myself when I'm triggered to believing something outside of me is causing my upset. And it has so improved the quality of my life. I spend so much less time in anger, fear, sadness, upset, that's what I was struck with this morning. I had several little things go awry this morning, and by that I mean not the way my mind said they should go, planned out my day. And I was just, again, reminded of how quickly and easily I caught myself getting frustrated or didn't even get frustrated the way I would have, and breathed and canceled the goal and shifted energy into that loving gratitude space. And there was a whole series of little events, and the day is still perfect. And it's
almost like it's a natural thing to do, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, it's yeah, someone was asking me the other day, you know, why do you do this work? And as a matter of fact, somebody last night said, wow, 9 years. That's, somebody was asking me, how do you know, you know, the people here? And I said, well, I lead a support group down the road. I've been doing that for 9 years. And they said, well, you know, what kind of group and what do you do? And there were a couple people there that chimed in because they've been to the group. And then they said, so why do you do it? And I said, well, because I realized that my life was really good even before I met Dr. Michael Rice. I was a pretty good therapist, and I had a nice family, but I had an inkling it could be better, that I could be happier, more content. And when I found these tools, I found that I was quite quickly moving to spending a lot less time in anger and frustration and fear and sadness and hurt. And then when I started doing the support group, I realized Tuesday evenings were the highlight of my week. I was looking forward to going and spending an hour watching a video and spending another hour and a half doing worksheets or discussing the process. And once I found out that that was one of the highlights of my week, I decided I'm going to at least keep doing it. And eventually I started looking for ways to get more of that in my life, because it makes my life better. So that would be my offering for today, is if people need to start a New Year's resolution or start a new habit, or they want to look to manifest something, I go with what Guy Finley says about manifesting. If you're looking for something to manifest, try manifesting a way to be happy with whatever you have in your life right now in this moment. That's something worth manifesting.
Yay.
And that's what these tools have given me.
Yeah, I was talking to someone this morning. We had breakfast with a gentleman in Apalachicola, actually the head of their planning board we met with this morning. And as we were talking, we, of course, got into the conversation about the work and what we're doing as we travel. And I shared with him the idea of, you know, how our culture has become so focused on the hostility and fear-based game and forgotten about functioning as human beings. And I used the example of, well, let's imagine that we have a kid that's born and raised into a world where computers functioning in the world, but there is no such thing as virus removal. And so this kid grows up in a world where, you know, it's just normal that, you know, you spend 5, 6, 7 hours working on getting rid of the impact of viruses in your computer, and then you get 10 minutes of functionality, and then you get 5 or 6 or 7 hours where you have to work on removing the new round of viruses, and then you get 10 or 15 minutes of computer functionality. And that's, I think, a perfect analogy for the way most people function in the world, that the viruses of hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, pain, just the general feeling that so many people have, you know, so often we'll run into people who they're just like, you know, it's like I, you know, life just doesn't, I don't even feel any excitement, or, you know, it's just like I kind of dull, like, well, what's it all about? Why should I bother? And all of that is the impact of these viruses of hostility and fear, and the fact that the virus removal tool was disappeared almost 2,000 years ago. We are literally the inheritors of 2,000 years of cumulative insanity, cumulative rage and guilt. And, I mean, you start looking back. I listened to an audio book. Bill O'Reilly did an audio book on the murder of Christ, and in that audiobook, he goes through quite a detailed description of the slaughters done by the Roman army. And I mean, you know, it was nothing in a period of a few days for the Romans to attack and murder 150,000 people. I mean, just wholesale 150,000 people that were alive 4 days ago are now dead at the hands of these Roman conquerors. And it's just, you know, the brutality of it and the insanity that's gone on. And now we live in a culture that, you know, so often when they announce a new war, it's like a big celebration. So, boy, let's go kick their butts. And that's all non-human life that interrupts the process that you're talking about, Tim, of living in this peaceful, centered, connected, loving space. And, you know, it's possible to be rid of those viruses. It's possible to be free of literally free of the capacity to be frustrated about something, to be disturbed, to be in pain or turmoil. It's not a natural condition any more than it's a natural condition for your computer to be loaded with viruses. And so forgiveness, you know, when you think of it, if you think removal, you have a virus removal tool to, you know, remove the thing that interferes with the function of your computer. You have a virus removal tool called forgiveness to be freed of that which interferes with the function of you as a being of love, what you're designed to function as. And so I'm hearing what you're saying, Tim, and it certainly fits with the conversation we were having with this gentleman this morning, and his guys got pretty big as we were talking about this. Like, wow, that's possible? And, you know, this town we were just in, Apalachicola, it is a, it has historically a fishing town, and since the Gulf oil spill and the overfishing and the use of chemicals to disperse the oil has pretty much wiped out the fishing industry, there are large numbers of people who are unemployed and not living in a very happy way. And to hear that it's possible that this population could be free, and you know, his desire is to create as viable and as vibrant and as loving a community as he can support and create. And so his eyes got pretty big as we started talking about, well, you know, there's technology for getting free of that pattern, hostility, and fear. And so it'll be interesting to see what comes about in Apalachicola. And, you know, I'm not sure whether you've met Joanna Burdoff. I'm not sure whether she was at one of the intensives you were at, Tim. But anyway, she's a young lady who lives in Branson who had asked us to come by and check out some property that she's looking at here and wants to create a healing center a la forgiveness and such. So it'll be interesting to see what unfolds.
I look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, so do I. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And if you have a question or a thought for us or a New Year's wish, we would love to hear your voice. If you are on one of those stations that we don't have access to through our control panel, you can reach us by calling that number. And then by pushing 1 on your push-button phone, you will alert us that you want to say something. So, Michelle, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anything happening, anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
Peace and I are chatting. Mostly he's chatting and I'm reading. But I do have a comment. I wanted to say happy Eternal Day, Michael.
Well, Jamie showed me that this morning, and that's a kind of a cool posting, but it's not my Eternal Day, so I'm not sure where you got that one.
I always thought your birthday
until February 13th.
For some reason, I had it January 1st in my head.
Ah,
wow.
That's cool. I accept your Eternal Day wishes. I accept, and I'm planning on having a happy one.
I've been counting down the days so I could send you that card, but all right.
Really?
But listen.
Oh,
cool.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. I'll send it to you again in 6 weeks.
Yeah, February 13th. That'll be the day to do it. And you know, we were actually sitting, the property that we went to look at is a waterfront property. It used to be a restaurant. It just sits right in an area where once you sit on the upper deck, all you can see are these old, broken-down wooden docks sitting on the bay. And I was sitting there just kind of contemplating and being quiet with some nice sunshine, and the temperature was pretty pleasant. We were shielded from the wind. And it's like all of a sudden I feel like Otis Redding, and here I am sitting on the dock of the bay. And thinking of it, you know, with it being New Year's Eve of really tapping into this presence of love that we are, and extending that love to every mind, heart, and being in support of each being empowered to create literally the best year yet of our eternal lives. And together we can do that and just transform the whole game. So that's what we're here to do.
Well,
so anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
Yeah, actually Susan Darnell is here, and let's wish her a happy new year. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Hello, Michael. How are you? Hi, Dr. Tim.
Hello, Susan.
Nice to hear you guys on New Year's Day. It's beautiful. I have a couple of questions.
Great. Let's go for it.
Okay. The first
I'm
one.
I'm so delighted and so excited about what you're doing there in Wilmington and the groups you're gathering and the lives that you're touching. Grounding the work there is just really awesome.
Thank you, Michael. I'll put you on speakerphone. I have a friend here with me. Anyway, so I have a question that he asked me, and I did not, and I thank you for that that wonderful testimonial. He's giving me words of what you said.
And hey there, friend. Nice to meet you.
He said, hey there, friend. Nice to meet you.
He said hello, quietly. He's cooking. What is the Aramaic word for prana?
I have no idea. It wouldn't surprise me if it tied in with Ruka Dukuchi, you know, in the Aramaic, where we're told that it says, by the Greeks, it says God sent out his spirit. In Aramaic, it says God sent out his breath, and I know in the East, breath is prana, or is one of the ways of gathering prana, so it wouldn't surprise me if it ties right in with the whole idea of Ruka Dukuchi, which, of course, in Aramaic is this feminine elemental force in us that empowers us, enlivens us. It is, by definition, it is the force for that which is proper for humans, a literal elemental force, and that, when invited into activity, undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. But it would make sense to me that it would be tied to that, but I'm not aware of a specific translation or, you know, a comparable idea of prana.
Thank you.
Question I have now. So breath, what is the breath in Aramaic?
Ruka Dukuchi.
That's it.
When the Greeks say God sent out his spirit, and those words Ruka Dukuchi were translated as the Holy Spirit, in Aramaic it doesn't say that. It's literally God sent out Ruka Dukuchi, his breath. That energetic force that links us all together as one.
Okay, I took you off speaker for just a second because I know my friend wants to hear what you're saying, but I like to talk into the phone, so.
Okay.
And he's making noise in the kitchen. So, Shania, what is it? Shekinah. Do you know what that is?
Well, that would be more a question on Aramaic Fridays, and I think we're going to, well, I guess we finished our last Aramaic Friday. I haven't heard from Dale as to whether or not he's going to join us tomorrow, but that would probably be a discussion to get into with Dale.
Okay, that's cool. That's great.
Okay. And I'll check with him and see if he's going to join us tomorrow.
Okay, he wrote down on this pad here, is Ruka similar to, and I couldn't say it, what'd you call it? Shekinah.
Shekinah.
So I will save that. I'll save that for tomorrow, and just in case I can get on the radio show. I will be working tomorrow, so today was one of the days that I called in. Now for my question is, I think you and I had a conversation that the other night when we had Mind Shifters group, I had a new person there that had heard you on Sunday when you presented your lesson on living, not just saying the Lord's Prayer. And he also attended the Course in Miracles workshop night on Tuesday. And his when I started to present board, the whiteboard, the being which we are born with, our newborn state, love, and the non-being of what we've done when we regret, anger came up on the side of regrets for me. I said anger was one of the words I put up there. And his thing was because he thought anger was good, and he knew it caused disease in the body, but he also wanted to know if Jesus got angry in the temple, that anger would be a part of what Jesus would support, something Jesus would support us having. So I was go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting if you and you know, men like to gather people to support what they want to have supported in the world. And so we hear the Greeks translating about this guy going into the temple with a whip and whipping people. But actually, if you change your picture just a little bit, the word that was used, that was translated by the Greeks as a whip, as though he went in with rage and was whipping people, the word is prigla. And so change your picture a little bit. Instead of picturing this man with a whip in his hand, and I you know, I have pictures come to mind that I've seen of supposed scriptural, you know, visions or pictures of here he's standing, you know, wielding this whip. Change the picture just a little bit and picture him with a prigla in his hand. And in Aramaic, a prigla is a little broom with which you'd sweep chickens out of the house. It wasn't a whip. It was nothing to do with rage and anger. It was clarity and power, the same clarity and power that you and I are going to have to go into our temple with to remove what doesn't belong. But, you know, it's interesting that one can, and this is the house divided against itself, the split mind, one can say to oneself, well, you know, anger is good. I know it causes disease, but it's good. How can those two ideas coexist? And I'll offer that never once in all the thousands of times we've asked the question, how many have done something that they regret, has the list on the right side of the board that we make that lists the feelings. We ask people, what were you feeling that motivated you to do what you regret? Never once has the word anger not been there. So you stop and think about, so anger has removed the intelligence that would keep me doing things that I will always be in harmony with and be proud and happy to have done. And this energy causes me to lose my intelligence and go into doing things I regret. I'd offer that anger is, one, an internally produced drug that robs us of intelligence and causes us to do things that we'll regret, and two, is always an anesthetic used to hide from ourselves what it is that we don't want to feel and we don't want to deal with. And I'll say that over the years of, you know, working with people in intensives, when we can get somebody, as you've observed, who's in their rage and their anger, to just drop their anger for even a moment, they drop right into their pain. It's always a cover for pain. And I'd offer that a covering up one's pain is never a useful or healthy process. It will always create disorder, disease, and suffering.
Just for clarity, Michael, and it may have been my listening, but I think you said that the word anger never shows up on the side where people make a list of what they regret.
It's never not shown up. It always shows up.
Okay.
It's always in the list of regret. Anger is always there. So if I misspoke that, excuse me, thank you for catching that, sweetie. So if it robs us of our intelligence and it anesthetizes us, is it good? And it causes disease. You know, to me, it just doesn't make sense to say it is good. It's destructive. And the replacement, my offering is that if you're in a situation where perhaps you found anger to be one of the more useful things that you have, that my offering would be if for just one instant you would give up the expression and the experience of anger and tap into the presence of love, there'll be far more intelligence, far more capability with which to produce the results that you want to produce, far more than anger could ever even think about giving you. So that would be my take on anger.
So the question is, how do we tap in to some of the, is that what you said? How do we tap in? I know, but obviously you saying it would be helpful.
How do we tap into?
Ask that one more time, Michael.
Okay, I didn't quite get what you meant by how do we tap in. What is it you're asking about tapping into?
Oh, you just, hi, how are you doing, Mike? You made a comment about getting rid of the pain because it leads to suffering, and if we could just tap into the what I'm doing is you said the flow or presence of love. I'm sorry, I only
presence
have like
of
three
love,
quarters
yes.
of an ear here. You said if we can tap into that, is the word you used?
Yes.
And then things would shift easier.
And you have intelligence.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you. That was the word
yes.
you used. Like,
yes.
You were back at being intelligent as opposed to not having our intelligence. And
right.
so what are some really good ways to connect to that to work that tapping in? Anything you can say about that, I'd be happy to hear.
And that's Ralph, Michael.
Hey, Ralph.
Ralph.
Hey, nice to meet you. Great question. And if you were in an intensive, Ralph, right now, I would be turning with a marker in my hand, and at the top of the board I would write all of the above. Because if you listen, like, for instance, we've been doing this radio show for 4 years. There are over 1,000 hours of radio shows in the archives. If you listen to every hour, you'd never hear me say a word other than how to do that. Every tool, everything that I speak about and teach is about how to tap into that active presence of love. The number one tool, the starting point, is to breathe. And then to recognize that if you enter certain situations and those situations trigger and resonate hostility in you, then hostility, our world tells us to think in terms of, that made me angry. You know, when she did that, she really made me angry, which is our definition of denial. And what denial does, when I think or speak as though something inside me is causing something outside of me to happen, what occurs is the part of my mind that's producing the anger is now hidden from me. I'm now dissociated from that anger. And so the thing that compromises my intelligence and creates disease within my physiology and has me doing things that later I'll regret, I'm now cut off from and unable to change. What the first century Aramaic forgiveness process does is it empowers us to go back to the part of our minds that we've dissociated from and remove the anger. And once the anger is removed and is no longer a factor in the situation that happens, I'm going to have 10 times the intelligence with which to approach this situation instead of having to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And, of course, this whole body of work is about acquiring a whole new set of tools for doing that. Breathing and forgiveness are two of the most important tools. And forgiveness, not being, let's say, if I say she made me angry, forgiveness doesn't have anything to do with me letting her off the hook because there's anger going on in me again. I've been through this anger 87 different times with 42 different people. It's got nothing to do with her. It's a compromising energy within me that belongs to me. And what first century Aramaic forgiveness does, it gives me direct access to that part of my mind again, so that I can come up with different options. You know, I love how Einstein defines insanity, and that is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And until we have the tool of forgiveness and can remove that reactionary anger, it will seem to be the only option. There'll be nothing else to do, but, you know, who wouldn't get angry in this situation? Well, the person who wouldn't get angry in that situation is the person who's forgiven their anger. And now I have a different mind to make choices out of. I can see different options. I'm not limited by the hostility of my own mind. Does that make sense?
Can you hear me? Am I off mute? Can you hear me?
You're loud and clear.
Okay. Not only does it make sense, I think that was very eloquently phrased. I like that. I'm scrapping down some notes on some phraseologies that you used here that I'll have for reference. I appreciate it. That was very well articulated. Thank you.
Delighted and glad to be on the team. And, of course, this will be in the archive so you can listen to it anytime. It'll be a free MP3 download you can put on your phone or your iPad or, you know, whatever, your computer, and go back to and work with.
Well, that's fantastic. That means I still have about 11 minutes left on my 15 minutes of fame.
There you go. So how else can we support you? What else is on your mind? What has this been teaching you about the work? And are there any questions we can support you? You know, I love it when somebody who's new to the work comes into the radio show because, you know, sometimes the old-timers think they've asked all the questions, and then somebody new comes up with a whole new question, and that leads to a whole new understanding, nuance in the work. So the questions are really key in the process.
Well, I'm glad you appreciate that. I try to keep what they call in Zen philosophy a beginner's mind, so it's nice to see that you appreciate that. Thank you. I had a good time.
That's exactly where I live as well. I am an eternal student, and I love how Zig Ziglar says it. He says, if you're right, you're rot. Once we think we know it, the game is over. And, you know, there's some interesting Harvard research that we point to in our work. And this Harvard research says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells are firing, like there are 10,000 measurable units of electrical activity in the brain, the max amount of that data that we're capable of conceiving of in that time frame of 10,000 brain cells is 9 bits. We get to see this little tiny fragment of...
Uh-oh, you went off. Are you there, Michael?
No, he's not there.
Oh.
He's not there, Sue. So what he was saying is that... we get maybe, you know, another way this came to him recently was we get maybe a 5,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and we think we have the whole picture when those 5,000 pieces have come from a 500-trillion-piece puzzle. And if we're looking at 500 or 5,000 pieces and we think that's the whole story, but those 5,000 pieces are just a tiny fraction of a 500-trillion-bit puzzle, there's no way we're ever going to know the whole story. So the willingness to always be a student, you know, a great teacher is one thing, but a master is someone who has mastered the art of becoming a perpetually avid student. And that's what you're referring to in that Buddhist tradition and in the beginner's mind and what Michael's trying to help us to see is that the conscious logical mind is never going to give us the answers that we're yearning for. Einstein said, we've been given a precious gift and a faithful servant. The precious gift is the intuitive mind and the faithful servant is the logical rational mind. But we're living in a culture which has forgotten the gift and elevated the servant to the level of master. So we run around trying to figure things out with our conscious logical mind. And for us, in this work, we're talking about that's related to anything emotional or psychological. That trying to figure it out with the conscious logical rational mind is a trap. Einstein went even beyond that and said that most of his genius came from intuition and inspiration. So even in the realm of things like understanding physics and mechanics, he relied heavily on his refinement of the skill of tapping into intuition, which puts you in touch with that, one way Michael's come to saying it is, learning to ask the 500 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle what it can teach me about this moment, rather than looking at the 5,000 or 500,000 pieces and saying, oh, I know what's going on here. Michael, are you back?
I'm back. We're driving, and I guess we had a cell tower change, and it just cut me off.
So one more thing.
So I probably went on for 2 or 3 minutes, and I was talking to myself.
Well, that's okay. We picked up the pieces here.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your support. Yeah, right, there you go.
So, just one more question or one more statement. I was trying to say this earlier, but was on mute. When you're asking about that question about, I forget now the word, but the word you were looking for, I think when you get Dale on the phone, he will say it's the word that they interpreted as life. I've come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly.
Right.
You can have life. And I forget exactly what Dale's pronunciation of it is, but it's one of those where he's afraid that if he says it in the original Aramaic, he'll be spitting on the people in the front row. But I think I think that's the word you're looking for, Susan, in that first one you were asking about, this prana energy. I think it's the energy of life.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Tim. Thank you, Michael.
Yay, delighted. Actually, you know, you brought to mind the story that Tim has shared with us before, that one of Tim's other mentors, Guy Finley, has shared, and I think it's just an awesome story. I actually tell it all the time now, and it's about the guy who's got a friend who's going into business, and this fellow is getting ready to go on the road and travel for 6 months. So he drops by to see his friend, and he gets there just in time to see his friend put up his new sign for his business, and his sign says handmade wooden chairs. And so he congratulates him, and off he goes. And 6 months later, he's on his way back, and he goes, drops by to see his friend, and he gets there just in time to see them taking down this handmade wooden chair business and putting up a new sign for a handmade wooden furniture business. And he says to the guy, well, what happened? I thought you were in the chair business. He said, you know, I was in those handmade wooden chairs, and I just found out I wasn't very good at working with wood. The guy says, well, why are you going into the handmade wooden furniture business? The guy says, well, I just thought I'd try again and see if it would be different. And, you know, to me it's such a great story that just indicates how often people, they go from relationship to relationship, from emotion to emotion, from situation to situation, and they know it didn't work the last time. You know, I'll oftentimes, on that question of anger, I'll oftentimes say to people, well, you know, how many ever destroyed a relationship or a business or a financial transaction? What state of mind were you in when you did it? Oh, it's hostility. Yeah, it destroys everything. But it's interesting how many people, that's the skill set they have, and they keep trying to use it to produce a result, and they just don't recognize that it doesn't produce the result they want, but they won't bother to acquire new skills. They just keep trucking along with the old dynamic. So it's an interesting process.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
Absolutely delighted. Glad to have you both on the show. And I hope your lunch is wonderful.
And I hope you're driving safely.
Jeannie is actually driving. I'm on the phone, and we are out in the boonies. We're going through, you know, what looks like the Everglades, although we're up in North Florida, but just these scrub pines and brush and a 2-lane highway to nowhere. We're in the boonies, so it's beautiful.
Great, Michael. Wonderful. Thank you, Jeannie, for your input. Thank you, Dr. Tim.
All right. Well, you have a blessed day. Best year yet of your eternal life. And we hold the space for your Laws of Living class. It starts in a week. Am I understanding correctly that you start Laws of Living next week?
Actually, I have pushed it back
2 weeks.
1 week. Yeah, I pushed it back a week so that a person who's out of the area at this time can join us when they get back. And I also had another person sign up last night, so that was great.
Awesome.
Yes.
Very cool. So you were going to start on the 9th, so it's going to be a week later now? 16th.
I was going to start on the 12th, and now it's going to be on a Thursday night. Thursday is working better for everyone, so I've got extra people that can come on Thursday that were not available on the Monday night. So we're going to shift to Thursday night. Mm-hmm.
Well, you probably should send us a details on it so that we can get it on the website.
That's great, Michael. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Have a blessed one.
Thank you. You guys, too. Happy New Year. Nice to talk to you guys. Michelle, send you love.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Susan. So, Michael,
yes.
In the chat room, there's a question from Angela, and what she stated is asking you about the adrenaline response related to being startled. And her example was that it was warm last night, and so she had a bedroom window open, and then at midnight, the neighbors fired off shotguns. And because it had been so much louder than the years before, and because the window was open, she noticed her startledness and breathed and recovered quickly. But the, you know, initial maybe surprise triggered that experience in her body. And
right.
So I was trying to kind of clarify what she was actually asking, because the way I took it was that she was maybe wondering about the automatic fear aspect that comes up that seems more like an instinct versus maybe a thought connected to it.
Right. So my input would be that the best way to check it out is to do some worksheets around what the response was and see if it's something that can be dissolved. And, you know, we do have, you know, they say the child instinctually has this fear or this startle response. I think that what the child has is 1,000 generations of fear and terror in it, and loud noises resonate that, and so that's what starts to move. I would question whether that's actually necessary or designed to be part of us, and that, you know, stepping in and starting to do some forgiveness around that, you might find another layer of that type of startle response begins to dissolve. I know this summer at Heartland, Magda was there, and you know she shared on the show before that you know she's always had an energy around and a fear around conflict and people who are in anger. And we had someone at the intensive who went through many layers, you know, purposely stirring and bringing up those layers and recognized her startle and her fear response, went to work on it, and it was kind of interesting because it was almost like it was a setup, like it was a custom-made circumstance, because the next time this person went into that kind of anger, they were standing literally right behind her seat. The person was not in her visual field, was right behind her, and went into that anger, and she just sat there in total peacefulness, total connectedness, and total love. And it was a nice gift for her to recognize that the work she did around that had worked for her, and she was freed of that response to someone's anger. So that's the work, is getting free of those energies that never belong within our structures in the first place.
I asked her if there was anything she wanted to add. Michael, I remember that moment. Magda had almost like a Mona Lisa smile on her face, just like this like content, peaceful.
Yep.
And it was kind of funny, actually. Like, look at Magda. Is she even knowing what's going on? Because we all sort of expected, because you're right, he was looming over her head.
Yeah, right from behind with no idea that he was there, with that response ready to go, and she just sat there and just held the space. And it is what we're capable of, is literally removing the hostility and fear and being free of it. It's like, and you know, to me, one of the things to get is that an intelligent mind connected to love has much broader vision and capability than one that's connected to the narrow mind of hostility and fear. You know, a periphery vision restricts a lot of changes that go along with hostility and anger in the system. And the constructive aspect of a mind connected to love always has far more capability than that mind which is connected to hostility and fear. So we're here to free ourselves and everyone else from that response. So our call-in number, we've got about, we're down to about 7 or 8 minutes. So 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. If you call in and you have a question for us, if you push 1, that will put a hand up in the phone queue, and Michelle will know that you have something to share with us, and she'll introduce you by your area code. So we've probably got time for at least one more caller. If anybody has a thought or a question for us, put your hand up. Anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
Not right now, Michael. Sorry, yeah, you're right. We could definitely have time to have someone ask a question. When you're talking about this aspect of fear, and it's to me, it's like a beacon, because when I imagine a situation that would be life-threatening, maybe fire or, being caught in a riptide in the ocean, that like how much work would really be required where you would just accept every moment. I think about the jumpers from the fuelage in the 9/11 Twin Towers and jumping, you know, and that free fall for 9 seconds, that, you know, how powerful it would be that in accepting every moment that you have peacefulness, even while that, like, extreme level of experience that's life-threatening was happening. And trying to imagine what that would really look like as far as a beacon, or like, you know, the idea of having a lighthouse of a path to doing the work.
Well, definitely, you know, and it ties right in. If you go to the first century Aramaic, they said to Yeshua, well, you know, what's most important in this whole game? What comes first? And it's interesting, the Greeks translate his words as, you must have love for God, for neighbor, and for self. But in Aramaic, that's not what he said. He, in essence, said, you've got to maintain this condition of love within your physiology. And so the word that he used was the word rachma. And rachma describes a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that is, one, a gateway for human life to enter human form, and two, a filter that keeps the mind connected to love so that all of its intentions are locked in on love. And it is a mind connected with love that always gets the highest and best output. The mind connected with fear and with hostility has its perception narrowed. And narrowed perception compared to broadened perception is just a loss of so much. And where we really are able to keep our full capacity is when we're able to stay connected with that true human mind, the mind that was designed for us to function out of. And, you know, the fact that everyone on the planet, when you ask them about the newborn, has the same idea, the same experience. And interestingly enough, you know, if I said to you, well, you know, think about tap into the last few times that you were in the presence of a 5-year-old. Well, people would go through a whole thinking process. But when you say, go back to the moment where you held the newborn, there's no thinking involved. People just drop right back in. And even people who are in some form of hostility or fear at the moment, or uncertainty or confusion, you say, well, do you remember the first time you held a newborn, and like 2 seconds later, there's a smile on their face, and they drop into another energy. And what they're dropping into is their experience of human life out there, the newborn, resonating human life in them. And as human life is resonated, there's a whole different intelligence, a whole different capability, a whole different possibility. And again, we're here to support that possibility in the world instead of the game of the non-being mind, the mind that's based in hostility and fear. So that's the direction we want to go. That's what we're here to support. We're here to support in terms of our own learning and the learning for everybody that touches this radio show. So 646, we've got about 3.5 minutes left. Time for one fairly quick question. 646-200-4169. Is our call-in number. And if we don't have a hand up, then I'll just share that if you are in Florida, we're going to be kind of blitzing Florida over the next several weeks. You can go to our website, whyagain.org, click on the schedule, and look down the list and find your city. We're going to be in Bradenton Sunday. We'll be in Tampa the next week. We'll be in St. Petersburg the next. We'll be in Miami 2 weeks after that. We'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Pompano Beach. Jeannie's going to be doing a one-day healing the whole woman retreat in Delray Beach under the auspices of the Unity Church of Pompano. We'll go from there to Sebring, Florida. We'll be doing a week in Sebring. And then from Sebring, we'll head to Orlando, where we'll be doing Jeannie and I will actually be doing concurrent 9-day intensives. I'll do a 9-day, why is this happening to me again? And Jeannie will do a 9-day healing the whole woman. The two workshops essentially focus in the same direction, but Jeannie puts her slant on it for healing women's issues and creating a space for women to really process whatever it is that holds them back from experiencing themselves as love. And so she does an awesome job of that. That'll be a 9-day residential intensive, and I'll be simultaneously doing a 9-day why is this happening to me again. And then some folks will just do the 9-day that she's doing or that I'm doing, and there'll be others who'll be there for those 9-day intensives, and then they'll step right into the teacher training. And in the teacher training this year, we're introducing a new 3-day module where we'll do 3 days of personal code evaluation study, learning how to interpret and understand the personal code. You know, in the past, our personal code evaluation is something that we have had only available as a written, you know, have to mark it mechanically kind of thing, so it's not something we could really easily put out and make available to people. Well, it's now been computerized, and so you'll have the possibility of, if you're wanting to teach this work or to work with people, of utilizing our personal code evaluation. And what we'll spend 3 days teaching people how to understand and interpret that and how to use it as a set of tools, and then we'll go into a 9-day, why is this happening to me again, teacher training. So the whole process will be 20 days. And the prerequisite for for the teacher training, of course, is the healing the whole woman or the 9-day why. And Jeannie had something to share? Oh, yes. And our teacher training will be, you know, we do one a year, and that'll be in April. So we actually won't do a teacher training in at Heartland this year. We've got a different, I don't know, 55 or 56 days of intensive schedule and a 10-day food, fun, and forgiveness. So you can check out our website to test all that and see which one fits for you to take your work to the next level. We appreciate the fact that you spend time with us, and bring a stranger to the show tomorrow, and have absolutely create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. It will bring healing to the whole world if you're willing to do that. Appreciation and blessing. Have a great day. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. www.mindshiftersradio.com.
Evolving continuously.